Hey folks, I'm here today to tell you about Visible. Something unfortunate about wireless services, what you see isn't always what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. No perception check required. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. If you're looking for a carrier that is upfront with no hidden fees, then go to Visible.com to make the switch. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save, and you're going to be getting unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Visible is the wireless carrier that's constantly operating from a zone of truth. In their quest for total transparency, Visible wants you to know the monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com.
Anna Sheridan, missing for nearly 6 months now.
That's not possible.
Someone with a more vivid imagination might decide she'd pierced the veil. There's no place for ghost stories in this investigation or any other.
I need you to find me.
The Sheridan Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Dungeon Cast. I'm Brian.
And I'm Will.
This is the podcast where we talk about everything Dungeons and Dragons, from dirty dynasties to dank dexterity. And today we're talking about druids. We're doing moon and spore druids.
Yes.
Prepare yourselves.
I cast fireball.
So we're talking about druids today.
Yeah. Right?
We're talking about the spore and the moon druid. And before we dive into the specifics, we're going to go over just the generality of what a druid is. I know you know. I know you know I know. And we know the audience probably knows, but we don't know. This might be someone's first episode.
And so I know that you know that I know.
It's true.
And so, I know that they know that I know.
All right.
Except druids, YouTube and podcast world.
Druids revere nature above all, gaining their spells and other magical powers either from the force of nature itself or from a nature deity. Many druids pursue a mystic spirituality of transcendent union with nature rather than devotion to a divine entity, while others serve gods of wild nature, animals, or elemental forces. The ancient druidic traditions are sometimes called the Old Faith, in contrast to the worship of gods in temples and shrines. Druid spells are oriented toward nature and animals, the power of tooth and claw, of sun and moon, of fire and storm. Druids also gain the ability to take on animal forms, and some druids make a particular study of this practice, even to the point where they prefer animal form to their natural form. Whether calling on the elemental forces of nature or emulating the creatures of the animal world, druids are an embodiment of nature's resilience, cunning, and fury. They claim no mastery over nature, instead they see themselves as extensions of nature's indomitable will. Though their organization is invisible to most outsiders, druids are part of a society that span the land, ignoring political borders. All druids are nominally members of this druidic society, though some individuals are so isolated that they have never seen any high-ranking members of the society or participated in druidic gatherings. Druids recognize each other as brothers and sisters. Like creatures of the wilderness, however, druids sometimes compete with or even prey on each other. At a local scale, druids are organized into circles that share certain perspectives on nature balance and the way of the druid.
So circles, is there like their version of society revolves around these circles, right?
Yeah, and I think like part of this divide between like the way druids are religious and the way like a cleric is religious really reminds me of like the old dichotomy of like the pagan ways versus like the rise of Christianity through Europe. But again, yeah. I have been listening to the history of Rome very extensively lately. So it's on the mind.
Picture more nomadic stuff where you run into like, oh man, you're a moon circle guy, huh? Like,
yeah.
That's you, isn't it?
That's cool, bro.
Yeah, slow
yes.
talkers.
Yes, absolutely.
I looked up the definition of nature because...
No,
I think it's relevant and important because...
Nature can... It means... Well, go ahead.
Well, yes, it means that it's the phenomena of the physical world collectively, including plants, animals, and landscape and other features and products of the earth, as opposed to humans or human creation.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so I think in this case, you know, humans being humanoids or whatever,
sure,
you know,
absolutely.
Beings.
Yeah.
Wherever we're going to quantify. It also says the basic or inherent features of something, especially when seen as characteristics of it. That's not where we're leaning here when we're talking about druids. Because I was thinking, like, if, like, man is a product of nature.
True.
And there are products of man, like, by association, you're going to have nature just be the things that exist in your reality or whatever as perceived, but that's not the case. Like, I mean, according to this definition.
Yeah.
It's more of a philosophical
question. But we're not talking about that today. We're talking about druids. Specifically, we're going to start with the Circle of the Moon Druid.
Yeah.
The most popular probably druid to run because they're so goddamn powerful.
They are strong.
I'm going to drink this water before we start.
And I'm going to, I'll just say, because there's that feature with druids where they don't like to touch metal.
Yeah. It's less of a feature and more of a, like, a fun role play thing you could do now.
Right. It's like a mental block almost.
Right.
It's like, well, if it's all nature though, bro, everything's connected.
Okay.
No, it's not true.
So druids of the Circle of the Moon are fierce guardians of the wilds. Their order gathers under the full moon to share news and trade warnings. They haunt the deepest parts of the wilderness, where they might go for weeks on end before crossing paths with another humanoid creature, let alone another druid. Changeable as a moon, a druid of the circle might prowl as a great cat one night, soar over the treetops as an eagle the next day, and crash through the undergrowth in bear form to drive off a trespassing monster. The wild is in a druid's blood. So, at level 2, when you can take this circle, you gain the feature combat wild shape. When you choose this circle at second level, you gain the ability to use wild shape on your turn as a bonus action rather than as a full action. Additionally, while you're transformed by wild shape, you can use a bonus action to expend one spell slot to regain 1d8 hit points per level of the spell slot expended. So, again, it gears you towards fighting in your wild shape form versus being a spell slinger.
Right. That's limited by a CR rating, right? That you can choose, like,
to your wild shape. I'm about to get into that because that's the next feature you get at this level. So you also get the feature called Circle Forms. The rites of your circle grant you the ability to transform into more dangerous animal forms. Starting at second level, you can use your wild shape to transform into a beast with a challenge rating as high as 1. At level 2, that's pretty dang high.
Yeah.
You ignore the max CR column of the beast shapes table, but you must abide by other limitations there. Starting at 6th level, you can transform into a beast with a challenge rating as high as your druid level divided by 3. So at level 6, you can finally turn into a challenge rating 2. And basically from then on, it becomes 1/3 of whatever your challenge of your level is. That's the challenge rating you can hit. So I think at level 20, that maxes at level challenge rating 6.
Yeah.
But you can change infinitely.
I think at level 2, not talking about multi-class, I'm talking about starting out with your character only having 2 levels. This is one of the most front-loaded things in the game.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. That's bonkers. If you're doing, like, a one-shot and it's, like, a level 2 or 3, a moon druid is a great choice.
Yeah, you're going to be doing all kinds of cool stuff. Yeah. Obviously, you're going to have to talk to your DM about what animals you've seen or whatever. But usually there's a general consensus that you are a druid and you've seen many animals.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
What's local to you and where you've been and where you are now.
Right. There's going to be few limitations versus, like, in Super Quest Saga, we have a lot of limitations because of the nature of
we're playing a sci-fi game. We have to record a certain way.
I also reward him with way more powerful monster transformations.
Yeah, it's limited, but it gets to scale a little harder.
Yeah.
And so you can find these monsters where? In the back of the monster manual? That's where they are?
Yeah, in the back of the monster manual, there's a whole list of like beasts.
Yeah.
But I think every once in a while, there's a monster in the actual manual like proper, which will have the beast tagline.
Yeah, and then obviously not all of them are in the monster manual. I think they get spread out between.
Yeah, Volo's Guide has some in the back, and all the ones with monsters usually have those at the back in the appendix, if you will. But at level 6, you get your next feature. It's called Primal Strike. Your attacks in beast form count as magical for the purposes of overcoming resistance and immunity to non-magical attacks and damage. Now, this is a great feature because at level 6, this is when this starts to usually become a problem where your attacks stop hurting things because they're not technically magical.
Yeah, I think in most campaigns we've done, level 5 is usually where this starts to kick in.
Yes, magical level weapons. 5, yes, exactly. And this is also one of the prime original critiques of the Ranger Beast pet because it didn't get anything like this.
Right, yeah.
I think that's been changed now with the primal thing. I don't know, I have to go back over it.
Tasha's?
With Tasha's, yeah.
Yeah, but most likely. Yeah. They've got a lot of buffs, and it probably is going... That beast is scaling way better now, from what I hear.
It is way better, yeah.
I haven't really looked at it. Yeah. Probably should. We did a Ranger episode, like, right before Tasha's.
Yeah. So next, you get a feature at level 10 called Elemental Wild Shape. You can expend two uses of Wild Shape at the same time to transform into an Air Elemental, an Earth Elemental, a Fire Elemental, or a Water Elemental, which that's great because those things are Challenge Rating 5. And at 10th level, I think the max monster you can turn into is a Challenge Rating 3.
They also get these like cool abilities like
not needing to breathe.
Yeah, breathing and stuff is like the main one.
Yeah, so... plus, elementals are fucking cool.
Yes, and they look cool. They're like one of my favorite monsters in the Monster Manual aesthetically.
Right, and like when we think about like druids and nature, we tend to think about plants and animals, but there's also just the prime elements are part of that as well.
I like them. They're like mischievous creatures, I think.
What, typically. Elementals?
Yeah.
They're just kind of destructive, chaotic.
You know? I ran one in a dungeon one time that was, it was kind of messing with, like they were chasing, like they were doing puzzles and then chasing this thing that was fucking with them while they're doing it. It's an air elemental, could like move through doors and shit.
Right,
and it's like,
right.
It would be the thing that shows up, fucks up the room,
and then
spawns
leaves.
Some mephits, and then goes. And then they have to,
that's pretty cool.
The
I
boss
like
at the end. So they're seeing the main boss is like the whole dungeon is showing up.
Right.
Yeah.
That's
was,
really cool.
It was really fun.
So the final feature you get for the Moon Druid is called Thousand Forms, and it happens at level 14. You've learned to use magic to alter your physical form in more subtle ways. You can cast the Alter Self spell at will.
That's cool. Alter Self.
Yeah. Now, I think this is more practical in that, like, utilitarian ways. Like, you can give yourself claws or teeth or, you know, different looks and stuff that can cause you to have different, like, abilities, like, subtle abilities, but this isn't going to be a combat
thing. I read it? I got it up.
Yeah, sure. Go for it.
Yeah, you assume, this is, I pulled it up on roll 20, so Alter Self says you can assume a different form. When you cast a spell, choose one of the following options, the effects of which last for the duration of the spell. While the spell lasts, you can end one option as an action to gain the benefits of a different one. Aquatic adaptation, you adapt your body to an aquatic environment, sprouting gills and growing webbing between your fingers. You can breathe underwater and gain a swimming speed equal to your walking speed. You can change your appearance, you transform your appearance, you decide what you look like, including your height, weight, facial features, sound of your voice, hair length, coloration, and distinguishing characteristics, if any. You can make yourself appear as a member of another race, though none of your statistics change. You also don't appear as a creature of a different size than you, and your basic shape stays the same. If you're bipedal, you can't use this spell to become quadrupedal, for instance. And at any time for the duration of the spell, you can use your action to change your appearance in this way again. You also get natural weapons. You grow claws, fangs, spines, horns, or a different natural weapon of your choice. Your unarmed strikes deal 1d6 bludgeoning damage, piercing, or slashing damage as appropriate to the natural weapon you choose, and you are proficient with your unarmed strikes. Finally, the natural weapon is magic, and you have a +1 bonus to the attack and damage rolls you make using it. So that's going to be one action, ranged self. The duration is up to 1 hour, and it is concentration.
Now, when it comes to, like, the natural weapon, that's pretty cool. But you think about the level you're getting this at, level 14. You're not going to be using it that way. You're probably going to be using it like a changeling would their transformation to look however they want and maybe have a few utilitarian, like, I have a tail now. I can do something with that. I have claws now. I can do something with that.
I can swim through this moat
Yeah, I have gills now. I'm good. Yeah, stuff like that. So. It is really cool, and they honestly don't need more combat stuff because at this point, they're transforming into mammoths and other stuff like that.
I think a functional utility transformation.
Yeah, I think at level 20 they get infinite wild shapes, so like it's basically
a really cool version of Disguise Self. Pretty much, it's got way more utility than that.
But. Right. So, anything about Moon Druids before we get into my character?
What sorts of psychedelics do they do?
None. My character does not do any psychedelics.
I just mean in general, but
all of them.
all of them, but except for your
I'm pulling out my character.
Got it.
Okay, so you ready?
Yeah.
So my character is an entity that, and by the way, when I designed this character, they're not a character to be played as a player. This is a villain for a campaign, and they are named the Formless, for they have no name.
Nice.
So my idea here is that they're a changeling. And when I was first making this thing, I was just like, wouldn't it be funny if I made a character that can like just, it was all just about changing and transforming. Cause you know, the Moon Druid transforms into all kinds of animals and stuff and elementals, but you don't get the alter self thing until like really high level.
Yeah.
I'm like, what if we do to change it? And then they can become whatever humanoid they want too.
That's pretty cool.
But I started thinking about like, well, what would be the point, like character wise for this? Like, what would be, like, why would this person exist in this way? And I started thinking about, what if there was a faction of extremist druids that truly hated civilization and wanted to wipe it off the face of the planet and return us all to our natural state, right?
That's fucking cool.
In the wilds. But one of the problems is they have a hard time infiltrating, like, actual society because they you know, they don't understand how it works and they hate it.
No shit so about it.
I picture this character as being a changeling boy whose village, town, whatever, got destroyed in a war by an empire or some big civilization. And he was taken in by these druids and then groomed and brainwashed to hate civilization in their ways, right? And basically, they wanted to use this child as a way to infiltrate into society.
Okay. So
rather than, like, yes, the formless is trained in the way of nature and transforming all these animals, but their spy skills and their infiltration skills and their charming skills have also been cultivated over time. And so this person will infiltrate a city, get involved into the politics, and slowly but surely sow discord until the city eats itself alive and then causes war and strife. And then the druids can move in and, like, bring people back out. No, we don't need the city. Come back out to the villages in the wild, in the forest and whatnot. And, like, slowly dismantle like cornerstones of civilization. So I picture this.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I picture them doing a bad job. Like, not doing really good job in bad locations.
Well, no. So what I picture here is, like, so you as a party, you know, you're involved in the city or whatever, and there's always, like, strife going on with the politicians, and maybe there's, like, a key politician who seems to always be causing problems, mm-hmm. and you slowly but surely uncover this crazy plot of, like, murder of the king and all this other stuff, and you find out it's this dude, and then, like, you go to arrest him or whatever, and then he transforms into a fucking crab or something or gets out, and, you know, that he becomes a different person, and you realize what you're dealing with here isn't, you know, Aristocrat Heracles, whatever his name is.
It was, like, this fucking crab thing the whole time.
It was this formless thing with no name that can become anyone or anything at any point of time. And it could be around you right now and you don't even know and listening in on your conversation. It could be that dude that you trust that just gave you a job. Like, it could be your own parent. Like, it could be anywhere. And now you have this, like, this looming entity that can infiltrate any situation and cause strife for you and you don't even know it's them.
That's cool.
Yeah.
This sounds like our, do you remember we built a, I think it was a glamour bard, like, a mm-hmm. long time ago, that was kind of like this.
Mm.
They were, like, set in with the government. That happened on this show.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like to.
Oh, I remember. It was a, I think it was the shadow bard, whatever that one's bard? Called.
It was one of that called. Shit.
It's what Freeland's thinking about rolling for his thing.
Oh, yeah.
It's not
shadow. Yeah.
It's something along those lines. But they're like the assassin-y spy bard.
Yes.
Yeah, but he wasn't doing that. He was more like doing it for his own gains. He was working as an assassin. This person's trying to dismantle society.
Yeah, this is cool. This is cool.
So let's see here. They have an 8 strength, a 14 dex, a 16 constitution, 10 intelligence, 17 wisdom, 13 charisma. What did I give them? So they have 14 armor class, but that doesn't matter because they turn into monsters and shit. gave them a bunch of languages. So they know Draconic, Druidic, Dwarvish, Elvish, Primordial, and Sylvan in order to infiltrate more societies. Let me see here. How do I pull up actions again? Here we go. Features. I think I even, their spells, I geared towards, like, all that crazy stuff. So their cantrips are Control Flames, Druidcraft, Guidance, and Gust, but their levels are Charm Person, Speak with Animals, Augury, Charm Person at a higher level, Locate Object, Pass Without a Trace, Speak with Plants, Confusion, Freedom of Movement, Guardian of Nature, Locate Creature, Scrying, Geese, Tree Stride. So, like, they're about locating things and hiding things and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, let me see. Equipment, I give them a Staff of Charming. They're wearing hide armor. Actor, I give them the feat actor. So they gain a +1 charisma, and they have advantage on deception and performance checks when trying to pass themselves off as a different person.
Proficiency,
and they
can disguise, get it.
They can mimic the speech of another person or the sounds made by other creatures that they have heard. So again, just wanting to make them the perfect, like, infiltrators. For their background, I chose acolyte because, like, their druidic following is more like an intense extreme religion. So they have been brainwashed into this extreme thing. So they're basically like this acolyte of an extreme religion, and so they get the shelter of the faithful of anyone within this, you know, takedown society.
Okay,
religion.
Cool. I picked acolyte for my guy too.
Oh, you did? Dang it, dude!
For like a I've got a completely different spin on it than you do, though.
Let me see here. Was there anything else that they get that I wanted to be specific about? No, that's about it. You know, that's it. The Formless. They're a villain. And I just like the idea of making a druid a villain, because you don't usually think about druids as villains. They're either super neutral or for good. But, yeah.
Why am I thinking of, like, when you said that, I'm thinking I've seen a high-level druid be a villain in something.
Oh, really?
Maybe it was like a concept I read where like a really high level, like what is the level 20 ability for druids where they like live forever and shit?
Oh yeah, they get that too, yeah.
But they want to dismantle, they want to take society back to zero and like just be nature all the way across the board.
Yeah, it sounds a lot like what I was talking about, yeah.
Yeah, but in a, like what I'm thinking about is a way different like sort of approach to it.
Because like, they're like an arch druid.
You're like a, you know.
Dismantle from the inside.
I'm eating the apple as the worm.
Yeah,
do.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
So I like that a lot, man. That's a really cool concept.
Yeah. Yeah. So the Formless, another nameless. This is my second character with no name. But yeah,
it's like bands that can't like the song does not. It's untitled track one.
Exactly.
Or
exactly. I think we can get ready for a short rest, though.
Let's do it.
Selling a little. Or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify is great. They're taking businesses of all sizes, cradling them in their arms, to help them grow by giving them the tools they need. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success at every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/dungeoncast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/dungeoncast now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/dungeoncast.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
Hey everybody, be sure to check out
Super Quest Saga, a future fantasy 5th edition D&D actual play podcast homebrewed and dungeon mastered by yours truly, me, and Set in Space.
And I play in it, along with your special guest Jake and friend of the show, Josh Freeland.
You can find it on YouTube, iTunes, or anywhere else you can get your podcasts.
Super Quest Saga!
We've returned.
Indeed, we have.
God damn it, DeGonzo. I have permission to say that.
I know. There's so many people that aren't going to understand what you mean when you say that,
though. But everyone on our Discord will understand what I mean. So please join our Discord where you can meet our super cool admin, DeGonzo.
Yeah. And he's great.
I have his permission to say that.
All right. So we are now talking about the Circle of Spores Druid, which is the newest of the Druid circles. And I'm very excited to get into it. So Druids of the Circle of Spores find beauty in decay. They see within mold and other fungi the ability to transform lifeless material into abundant, albeit somewhat strange, life. These druids believe that life and death are parts of a grand cycle, with one leading to the other and then back again. Death isn't the end of life, but instead a change of state that sees life shift into a new form. Druids of the Circle have a complex relationship with the undead. They see nothing inherently wrong with undeath, which they consider to be a companion to life and death. But these druids believe that the natural cycle is healthiest when each segment of it is vibrant and changing. Undead that seek to replace all life with undeath, or that try to avoid passing to the final rest, violate the cycle and must be thwarted.
Totally.
So that's a really interesting take. Also, when we talk about druids, we tend to talk in terms of plants and animals, and then, as we just discussed, elemental primal forces. But fungi are neither plant nor animal. They're a completely different other kind of life. And there's also bacteria.
Yeah.
No, funguses are not plants, and they're not like plants in any way, really.
They grow where plants grow. That's all.
That's not true. They actually grow where plants can't grow.
What?
Yes.
They grow where plants grow,
yeah, but like the more importantly is they can grow where plants cannot grow.
They're extremely diverse. Yeah. They're incredible.
And they don't function anything like plants, but let's get into the spell, the features of the Circle of Spores Druid. So at level 2, when you take the circle, you get the circle spells. Your symbiotic link to fungi and your ability to tap into the cycle of life and death grants you access to certain spells. At 2nd level, you learn the Chill Touch cantrip. At 3rd, 5th, 7th, and 9th level, you gain access to the spells listed for that level in the Circle of Spells, Circle of Spores spells table. Once you gain access to one of these spells, you always have it prepared, and it doesn't count against the number of spells you can prepare each day. If you gain access to a spell that doesn't appear on the Druid spell list, the spell is nonetheless a Druid spell for you. The spells are Chill Touch, which we just talked about.
Not as chill as it sounds.
Blindness / Deafness, Gentle Repose, Animate Dead, Gaseous Form, Blight, Confusion, Kill Cloud, and Contagion.
I like Kill Cloud way better than Cloud Kill.
Yeah, absolutely.
It says Cloud Kill. It's Cloud Kill.
Oh, yeah, it's Cloud Kill. Sorry. Did I say Kill Cloud?
Yeah, which is fucking cool.
That does sound more brutal, does it?
It sounds like a movie title.
Behold my Kill Cloud.
Cloud, Volume 3. It's a fucking anime.
Also at level 2, you get a feature called Halo of Spores. Mm-hmm. You are surrounded by invisible, necrotic spores that are harmless until you unleash them on a creature nearby. When a creature you can see moves into a space within 10 feet of you or starts its turn there, you can use your reaction to deal 1d4 necrotic damage to that creature. Unless it succeeds on a constitution save throw against your spell save DC, the necrotic damage increases to 1d6 at a 6th level, 1d8 at 10th level, and 1d10 at 14th level. So you just got kind of like a decay aura about you, your halo of spores.
Yeah.
It's gross.
Uh-huh.
It's nasty.
Baby, I can see that halo.
You get another feature at level 2 called Symbiotic Entity. You gain the ability to channel magic into your spores. As an action, you can expend a use of your wild shape feature to awaken those spores rather than transforming into a beast form, and you gain 4 temporary hit points for each level you have in this class. While this feature is active, you gain the following benefits. When you deal your Halo of Spores damage, roll the damage die a second time and add it to the total.
Nice.
Your melee weapon attacks deal an extra 1d6 necrotic damage to any target they hit. These benefits last for 10 minutes until you lose all these temporary hit points or until you use your wild shape again. Now, this is cool. This is turning your druid into a melee combatant.
Yeah.
You know, it boosts your spores, which things got to be near you for, gives you temp HP so you better survive, and makes your freaking sword do fungus damage.
I like this a lot. This is really cool. I like what you said about like this aura. Like, mm-hmm. We'll get there. I have ideas.
You have ideas?
Right now.
Okay, cool. So at level 6, you get a feature called Fungal Infestation. God, that sounds gross. your spores gain the ability to infest a corpse and animate it. Oh! If a beast or humanoid that is small or medium dies within 10 feet of you, you can use your reaction to animate it, causing it to stand up immediately with one hit point. The creature uses the zombie stat block in the monster manual.
Cool.
It remains animate for 1 hour, after which it collapses and dies. So you have minions, and that's super cool, and I love it.
I'm going to find the zombie.
It's like the cordyceps virus, or cordyceps fungus.
Is that the one that
it's the one that takes over ants and
oh, is it the ant one?
Yeah, it takes over a bunch of different. There's different strains of it, but yeah,
that because that one is a fungal thing, right?
Yeah, it grows over the brain and takes control. Yeah,
yeah. I think the one that gets into snails is not. That's a parasite. I think.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
In combat, the zombie's turn comes immediately after yours. It obeys your mental commands, and only the only action it can take is the attack action, making one melee attack. You can use this feature a number of times equal to your wisdom modifier, and you regain all expended uses of it when you finish a long rest. But yeah, you can get into a dungeon with a couple of these guys and probably make it through the whole dungeon, you know, until they die, but then do it again.
So we got the zombie stat block is medium undead, neutral, evil, armor class 8, HP 22. Mm. Speed 20 feet, mm-hmm. Strength 13, Dex 6, Con 16, Intelligence 3, Wisdom 6, Charisma 5, with a plus 0 to Wisdom saving throws. Why list it if it's plus 0? That doesn't make any sense.
Oh, is that still negative 5?
Oh, yeah, you're right, because the Wisdom score is minus 2. So it's actually just going to level that on out. Mm-hmm. So the damage immunities to poison, condition immunities to poison, 60 feet of dark vision, pretty good, Garen Crawler, passive perception of 8. Understands the language that new in life, challenge rating quarter. Undead fortitude, if damage reduces the zombie to 0 hit points, it must make a con save throw. DC of 5 plus the damage taken, unless the damage is radiant or from a critical hit. On a success, the zombie drops to 1 hit point instead. Slam attack is melee weapon attack, plus 3 to hit, reach of 5 feet, 1 target. It's going to do 4 or 1d6 plus 1 bludgeoning damage. Not bad. I mean, another...
Yeah. It's another body on the field. It's a meat bag. Yeah.
Right.
It's, yeah. You can send it ahead of you to scout, like, not scout, but to like canary, like a canary down the thing. To see if it dies when it goes down there.
I just throw torches.
Oh, yeah. There's that too. But you can send the zombie further and be like, zombie, I need you to walk 200 feet that way and then walk back. And if it doesn't come back, you know something happened.
Yeah. Walk 200 feet that way and throw this torch as far as you can.
Or that. So at level 10, you get a feature called Spreading Spores. Mm-hmm. You gain the ability to seed an area with deadly spores. As a bonus action, while your symbiotic entity feature is active, you can hurl spores up to 30 feet away where they swirl in a 10-foot cube for 1 minute. The spores disappear early if you use this feature again, if you dismiss them as a bonus action, or if your symbiotic entity feature is no longer active. When a creature moves into the cube or starts its turn there, the creature takes your halo of spores damage unless the creature succeeds a constitution saving throw against your spell save DC. A creature can take this damage no more than once per turn. While the cube of spores persists, you can't use your halo spores reaction. So you're just kind of like, you're ranging out your halo spores.
Yeah, really, I like the language here. Hurl spores up to 30 feet away.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hold on, guys. I'm going to hurl my spores.
Yeah, seriously.
I'm just,
God. Frank, that's so gross.
Stop it, Frank. Stop hurling your spores everywhere. Nobody wants to see that. Put those back.
Fungal Frank. So the final feature you get at level 14, it's called Fungal Body.
Mm-hmm.
The fungal spores in your body alter you. Oh, no.
Great.
You can't be blinded, deafened, frightened, or poisoned. And any critical hits against you count as normal hits instead unless you're incapacitated.
That's cool.
Why? Like, okay, hold on. The blinded, deafened, frightened, and poisoned, I get it. You're a fungus now. You're not even a person. You don't need eyes, for you are fungus incarnate.
You've achieved ultra instinct.
Why crits? I mean, that's awesome. It's a really nice feature. But why do crits not only count as normal against you?
They can't get through the shrooms, man, with their stabbies.
No.
And their flames.
Maybe it's because you don't bleed anymore, for you are fungus.
Your body hardens when you are attacked in a specific location because you've achieved fungal instinct. It's like ultra instinct, but it's just mushrooms.
It's disgusting. You want to talk about your character?
Yeah, I do. Let's tablet swap. So yeah, you don't even need this tablet.
No, I don't.
We got tablets now, baby.
Yeah, we're coming up in the world.
Oh, my stickers. Oh no. I'm sorry.
Yeah, man. Sorry.
Okay, anyway.
So you built a character today in front of me, in fact.
Yeah. So we're recording these on a day, not our normal day. Record, it's been wild, y'all. But don't worry, we here and we built a good one.
Mm-hmm.
But we're still on the formless. Let's go to tools. No, I don't need to build a character. I need to go to collections, my character. D&D Beyond is really cool, but I should really sit down and spend like a lot of time with it to not have these hiccups during recordings. There you are, Sporman.
Oh, gosh.
I see you, Sporman. Okay, so I tried to figure out like a gender-neutral thing for this name, and I couldn't and then didn't want to anymore. So I got Sporman here. So Sporman is a goblin, level 5. Didn't always live in the Underdark, but do now. Probably fell down there or something.
Yeah, I can see that. Hell yeah.
So conceptually speaking, this is slightly rushed. This is kind of cobbled together and has elements of the thing Will told me about before we recorded today.
Yeah.
And that we recorded today.
That happens a lot.
Kind of just in there. So stop telling me about your character. I won't cop a feel.
But I get so excited.
It is cool. So there are some things I'm going to spin it as much as I can. But basically, the story is that Spore Man used to be a poor man. Just a poor goblin. Mm-hmm. And basically fell into the Underdark, got stuck in there, ran into a Myconid camp.
Okay.
You know, let's get in with it. Just really got involved in Underdark stuff.
Yeah. So somehow he integrated with Myconid society because he had no other choice and he decided to be beneficial to them, and they're like, okay, we'll let him live here.
Yep, and then started huffing the hash that those Myconids put out and started getting Zuktomoy visions. So
we're going evil with this.
This is an evil, you built an evil guy, build an evil guy. So there's the first one. The second one is I picked Alkalite because it really got into the Zuktomoy thing without knowing.
Yeah, you want cultist. You're going more cultist.
I'm going more cultist.
I went with Egoterrorist.
I wonder if there's a cultist background somewhere that I didn't look.
I don't know. But there should be if there's not. There I mean, I think Acolyte fits.
So. Acolyte is kind of
like, what would you give cultists that Acolyte doesn't have?
The word cult has a negative connotation, but lots of things that you think are normal are cults.
Yeah, absolutely.
So this is a solo druid Acolyte culty dude.
So is Zuktomoy like trying to get in with this guy so that then he can infect the Myconids and then she can take over the tribe?
Yeah, but I think I know she gets confused or like not confused, but like kind of puts up a front what things are and aren't.
Yeah, she pretends not to be herself.
So this I want to grant you, Sir Goblin, poor man, the powers of the element of earth, because that's like her thing, right?
Sure,
the elemental
absolutely.
Evils,
yeah.
Koi.
Yeah,
ruse thing they got going on. So Spore Man roams the Underdark. What kind of mount should Spore Man have? Because
Carrion Crawler?
Yeah, we just did that, going Underdark, and that's what I used that episode to inspire this character. Yeah. So
and maybe it's not so much that he tamed it, it's that Zuktomoy gifted it to him.
Oh, that's cool. So, like here,
what's he called his Carrion Crawler? Cuddles.
That's pretty good. I like Cuddles. That's good. Do we have any more? Because I got Spore Man here.
Spore Man and... Oh, I got nothing, man. Spore Man and Cuddles works for me.
Spore Man and Cuddles it is.
Cuddles since the Carrion Crawler.
I almost went Fungal Worm or something like that. I wanted to try and use something else. I know that the pun squad is going to show up on YouTube. So, home, boys.
What is Sporman and his Carrion Crawler doing on a daily basis? What's the mission?
Fucking
spread the spores?
Spread the spores, I guess. They're hurling spores 30 feet at least.
Yeah. Maybe she's just got him on an infection duty. Like, yo, just crawl about the Underdark and spread my love.
Yeah. Like, let's systematically use Sporman with this sick mount that can crawl everywhere and can probably avoid danger.
She's just having him terraform.
Spore Man is alive because of the Carrion Crawler Cuddles.
Okay.
That is like without Cuddles, Spore Man is just a level 5 character in the Underdark alone.
I just want to know why Zuckmo chose this goblin amongst these Myconids.
Demon Lords don't make sense, man. We were talking a lot about Demon Lords before we started recording. They don't make fucking sense.
They're crazy.
They need all of the help they can get. And
that's true.
And the mushroom kind of like thing that Spore Man happened upon.
Mm-hmm.
It
well, did Spore Man infect and basically kill his village?
Okay, I think Spore Man is like a refugee of some sort of battle.
Uh-huh.
And got trapped in the Underdark.
Yeah, I got that.
And then used all of the Myconids there to make their super special Zuktomoy power demonic infused mushroom armor.
Yeah, so he destroyed them then.
He probably destroyed them. He probably
Then as a gift she gave him cuddles and told him spread my spores.
Destroy them, eat them, huff their juice. Ugh. And
it's horrifying.
And the big one in the back that rules over them sort of. Uh-huh. They have like a leader, right?
Yes,
I kind of remember that.
They do.
Wear him.
Oh. My God.
Yeah, put him on.
Spore-man's gruesome.
Spore-man is gruesome, and the armor is an old Myconid that Zugtmoy has hardened.
I feel like Spore-man has now become this like Sasquatchian type legend, urban entity of the Underdark that the drow tell their children about. You know, we got to be good or Spore-man will come for you.
The Spore-man will come.
Don't leave the, don't go past so-and-so street because Spore-man wanders the streets at night.
Finish your food because if you don't, it will rot in our trash can
and Spore-man will come for it.
Spore-man and Cuddles will come.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
You don't want that. And they show them a picture.
He's a children's folktale.
There's a there's a village where they commissioned the town bard artist to draw
a Spore-man.
A Spore-man carry on crawler combo.
Absolutely.
But it's real and it's in the Underdark. Yeah. It's as real as I want it to be. Yeah. And this is my podcast, so our podcast.
Yeah, but no, it is also your podcast as well as it is my podcast.
That's right. Spore-man takes a long time to get from place to place.
Because he's busy sporing.
He's always riding the carry-on crawler to travel.
But how does he feed Cuddles?
Cuddles got to do its own thing. So that's why it takes time for them to get from place to place.
Yeah.
Because one day it's got to do Spore-man stuff. And then one day it's got to do Cuddles stuff.
That's true.
How often do the Cuddles eat?
Once every few days.
Once, so it's cool. Like,
yeah, it works.
You know, they'll do the sport. They'll show up at a Myconid territory, and and basically that's the ground zero. It's like, we got to get all the mushrooms on board.
Okay.
We got to obliterate them and turn them into the Zugtmoy style.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe where there were Myconid civilizations, there are now like Zugtmoy incursion portals beginning in the Underdark.
I like that. That's super dope. Spore-man ended up way cooler than I thought he was going to be.
I knew that Spore-man had a lot of potential.
Yeah, we just had to get there.
We figured out Spore-man's armor.
Yeah.
We know Spore-man's mentality. He low-key is like a druidic, but is a worshiper of Zugtmoy unknowingly.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't. Is it unknowing at this point?
I think it needs to be
for who I
need Spore-man to be.
Okay, who do you need Spore-man to be?
Exactly where
my this is what I'm thinking. Like, sure, it might have been unwittingly at first, but once like Moy gets her fungus in you, your will becomes meaningless.
Okay,
you serve her at that point.
It might not be there yet because I'm only level 5, so maybe that fungus growing in will conceptually. Spore-man is a train,
yes,
moving towards the end of this episode, which is going to be about 40 to 45 minutes,
yes.
And I'm just throwing track down as fast as I can.
I think we arrived.
And you're bolting it together with me.
I'm doing
my
best.
We're just fucking like cartoon characters.
I mean, I think we're there. He's the folk legend that roams the Underdark infecting everything.
He's not even a train. It's a pump car. You know what I mean?
Sure.
A hand
absolutely.
Car, I think is what they call them. But yeah.
You want to go over stats?
Yeah, I do. Okay. I dump statted con because that's fucking hilarious. Okay. So strength 0. Dex, we're going big numbers. Strength 10, Dex 14, Con is a 9. Intelligence 14, Wisdom 16, Charisma 14. So I really wanted those back 3 stats pumped.
Mm-hmm.
I took the ability score. I built a level 5 character. I normally build level 10, but this is a rush job as we just we just kind of went over. So I pumped Wisdom and Charisma for my ability score.
Mm-hmm.
I took Standard Ray, did all that. I think for Goblin, I get like all kinds of. I'm not going to go over goblins today as a race. That'll probably be.
They get like nimble escape and a few other things like that.
Yeah, they make great rogues. I did not build a rogue.
No, you did not.
I built a druid. But the dex is not bad. I picture if I was going to give it, let's homebrew some armor for him. So it's going to bump his AC. His standard AC is going to be probably like a 15 or a 16 at the end of the day.
Okay.
So not bad. He needs it. The weapon, though, man, the weapon. Is it just spores? Am I just throwing spores out and doing magic?
Like, it depends on how gruesome you want it to be. Like, so he sounds like he's a spellcaster.
Mm-hmm.
So he has a focus, right? I mean, he's wearing the body of one of these Myconids. I mean, he could have captured the head of one of them and uses that.
Spellcasting focus is the head of, it's several heads of Mycodid smashed together.
Rather than a staff, he's got like a giant long like mushroom staff.
Okay, yeah. That's cool. I like that. It's just a big, long mushroom.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly right.
What are those ones that you put into, they're really long like that. You use them a lot for cooking.
I don't know.
Getting into cooking mushrooms. I can't remember the name of these ones, though. I got
not
like a
portobello.
I got like a farm fresh box, and they were like, dude, try these out. And I put them in some pasta. I can't remember their name.
I do love mushrooms.
I took proficiency in animal handling so I could have like this mount thing kind of going on.
Like it.
I'm just gonna standard spells. I'm not really too worried about magic. All the magic of Spore Man is demonic, and he's throwing mushrooms and doing his aura thing.
Sure.
Mushrooms grow in the wake of the carrion crawler.
That's how I figured it was happening, as he's letting off his spores. It's feeding off the slime.
Yeah, he just collects like a sack of spores, and he's got it on the side of the carrion crawler, and when they hit a bunch of spores fall out.
Yep.
That's it.
There we go.
All right.
Is that Spore Man?
That's
are we done?
Pretty much Spore Man. Is there anything let me make sure there's not something like important I missed about Spore Man. I don't know. What's Spore Man's hair look like?
I don't know. He's inside a suit of Myconid, so.
It doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah.
It never mind.
It stopped mattering.
He has a toothy maw.
He's just got like a mushroom forest on top of his head.
Yeah, I pictured one big one, but a little.
So he's
like,
Toad from Mario.
Yeah.
Okay.
But less round, but more flat.
Okay, gotcha.
You know what I mean? Like an Alice in Wonderland style.
Okay, sure.
Like the big, you know, the caterpillar when he's laying on top of stuff?
Oh, man, I don't even remember.
There's a big caterpillar. It's
basically
I know.
He's riding the caterpillar from Alice.
Spore Man's name before Spore Man and Poor Man was Alice.
Okay, sure.
And Caterpillar Genie. Is he a genie?
I think his name is, it starts with an A, and I don't remember what it is. It's Absol something. Anyways, are we
That's
done?
That's pretty
are we done
much
with Spore Man?
Spore Man.
Okay, then let's get ready for our long rest.
Okay.
My God.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the long rest. We made it to the back. You guys ready to build Beholders? Well, a Beholder. The Beholder we've been building
for several
episodes.
We're still working on the first one. We're getting close to being done, though. What is this, feature beam 8, 7?
The list is up, because last episode we had the list up.
So how many episodes we got? We got
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
So
this
we're
will be
on
our
7.
Seventh thing.
Okay, so we're getting close to the end here. We only got 3 more episodes? 8, 9, 10? Yeah, 3 more episodes after this of building.
Of building our first Beholder.
Yes.
This isn't the end.
No. Well, we're going to build many Beholders this year. But let's...
And then we'll make them
talk
fight.
About the I-beam and the physical feature that they're going to get this episode. And I chose the I-beam, and we're going with the transformation ray. This ray hits you, makes you make a constitution saving throw, and if you fail, you transform into the beast of this Beholder's choosing.
Nice.
So... Turn you to a squirrel, a mouse, a goat, so on and so forth.
And if your name, if you're in the party and your name is Tobias, he has to turn you into a hawk. There's no negotiating. And if your name is Tobias and you get turned into a hawk, you are a hawk forever. It's not.
I picture
it's
when
not
this,
negotiable.
I picture when this beam blasts out, you know what you hear? You don't hear like a laser or anything like that. You hear the drumming of Jumanji.
A fucking lion appears in your house, and all of a sudden you're a goddamn rat.
Yeah, there, exactly that. That's what happens. You're a goddamn rat. Okay, you want to tell them about the physical feature, which I don't know how I feel about.
It's inspired by the worm from Alice in Wonderland, who is named Absalom. And
who's the inspiration behind the carrion crawler? I like how carrion crawler got two in. What is this?
And I gave the beholder two carrion crawler features, technically the eye and the stalks or whatever.
He did.
But it was a little regretful upon wanting to do this bit, but because I could have picked a physical feature like the antenna or whatever for this, but no, we're gonna go with the hookah.
The Absalom smokes in Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So let's talk about aesthetics because that's the most important part.
Yeah.
The I-beam associated with this episode. So
the transformation beam
in the beam.
Wild shape. It's a wild shape beam.
It's a wild shape beam. So on the wild shape beam, this eye stalk comes up, does a loop-de-loop so it can hold the hookah. So the hookah is like set in this wrap and then the I-beam continues onward. The hookah like hose or whatever. I'm not very experienced with hookah.
Sure? It's a hose. I'm pretty sure.
I think it's a hose where the mouthpiece is. You do the suck and it dangles and the it has to like swing the hook into its beak, then it kind of like closes the
beak.
Oh,
God, it's got a beak.
Yeah, it's closing the beak around it. It's probably made of like really tough ceramic
this
or whatever.
This thing is a fucking horror show.
It's smoking hookah, and it's blowing like letters of the alphabet and circles out.
Yeah, there we go. All right. So we got a contest going on.
Yeah, we do.
We're giving away two copies of the Candlekeep Mysteries, which is a new, what do you call that? It's like a... not a variety. Well, it is a variety, but when you have like a series of short stories, what's that called?
Novellas?
No. Or it would be a series of novellas. But
a series of novellas.
It's a compilation book.
I mean, Stephen King makes those fucking left. He shits those out.
Yeah, I don't know why I'm struggling to think of what they're called because I like those types of books. But anyways, yeah, it's like a conglomeration of multiple small adventures, all mystery themed, that you guys can run for your campaign. If you want to win a copy, you can enter the contest on Twitter or Instagram. On Twitter, all you have to do is share a link to an episode of one of our shows with the hashtag DungeonCast. We'll get you added to the list. And on March 16th, we're deciding a winner. And Instagram has rules as well, which Brian knows better than I do.
Anthology.
It's an anthology. Yeah. Yeah. That's kind of what it is.
I found, what is a book of short stories called? In genre fiction, the term anthology typically categorizes collections of shorter works.
Yeah, it's an anthology.
Okay. It's an anthology. Get on the gram. Don't be scared. Get on there and find the Dungeon Cast. Follow them. Like the post associated with the contest. Start tagging people. Separate comments, please. That'll get you an entry for each comment. That's it, baby.
And we're giving away both on March 16th, so you got a couple weeks left, but we're getting close to the end.
Keep your candles mysterious. Get some alternate artwork of this book and become one with the Dungeon Cast, the way that so many of our contest winners have. We've absorbed them. They've become the show.
Indeed.
Patreon, hit us up if you want to not just tell people about the show, but support us monetarily. We do lots of cool things with that support, including make new shows like Super Quest Saga. And we got a couple new things in the pipeline. We are going to upload early episodes the day we're recording this. There'll be a couple in the bank. We're going to do a couple more in a few days. Don't worry. It's going to be okay, everybody. That's mostly for current patrons. But if you want to get in there, you can check out show notes and early episodes ad-free. You can check out live plays, a lot of comedy stuff, and exclusive merch. There's all kinds of things. Basically, patreon.com/dungeoncast is going to tell you everything you need to know. Get in there. Get great or whatever. What else?
No, I think that's it.
Nada. Nothing.
We can call it a game.
Let's call it a game.
We'll talk to you guys later.
Goodbye.
The Dungeon Cast.
You know, there's times where people in the comments accuse us of like smoking before the show.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And I always wonder why, because we certainly do not. I mean, at least I certainly do not.
Yeah.
But this time, looking at myself on the camera, I'm like, I see exactly why they think that.
Oh, because it's like 6 in the morning for you?
I'm trying to stop myself from laughing, and yeah, my eyes do look red because I'm tired as shit.
We're just having a good time.
Yes, we just enjoy the show. Like, people can laugh without being high. Anyways.
They can also just be high and be laughing and do the show.
Let us get in the mood.
Yeah, let's get in the mood.
Swear to God.
Anna Sheridan, New York Times bestselling author of Supernatural Horror. Missing for nearly 6 months now.
That's not possible. Is the compass broken? Or did I turn to the side?
Given the circumstances of her disappearance, someone with a more vivid imagination might decide she'd pierced the veil, so to speak.
Weak radio signal. 700 meters. Closing fast.
There's no place for ghost stories and close encounters in this investigation, or any other.
I need you to find me.
To save yourself.
Of course. What else would it be?
The Sheridan Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.